This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talking about how you do, baby. Boomer and Carton live on the fan for a worldwide CBS Sports Network. Got a great show for you today. We're standing up to stand up. No other reason. As it's Stand Up America Day today, and they want people to get up in their cubicles and just stand up and work, which apparently has been all the rage now. People now have these stand up like desks and workstations.
Well, the desktop that comes up off the, and you can do all your stuff.
The first guy I saw had that was Mr. Dean Blandino. Mr. Dean Blandino at the NFL had a stand-up desk. In any event, we got lots cooking. The Yankees not only win, but they tell the world we're going for it. We're going to make an attempt to get a little bit better. We'll get a guy batting 205. But, of course, he's batting 214 when he hits the ball. I don't know what the hell that means, but the Yankees made some moves. That's good. The New York Mets still blow chunks. And apparently their best fielder last night was Governor Christie. We'll get to it. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
Doing well. You know, so if you're a Yankee player this morning, you wake up. I guess if you're Chase Headley, Frazier plays a little third base. You got to be careful there. But I think they really got him because they want at least a veteran presence at first base. As Joe Girardi said last night, he's played a lot of both corner infielders and, infield positions. And he's a good player. He's a good, solid major league player. And they bring back an old friend.
Yep.
And they jettison a guy that has also been the scorn of Yankee fans for the last month, and that's Tyler Clifford. So the Yankees are all in.
Yeah, but by the way, it's nothing major in the trade, but, they're reinforcing themselves and they're telling you, listen, we're not going to sit by. They apparently had a trade offer on the table for Quintana before the Cubs got him. They thought they had him. Apparently, obviously, they didn't. So the Yankees are active, and now I think you'll see a lot of teams get busy here, maybe the Yankees again. And then, of course, there was that rumor yesterday. And the only reason it makes sense, yes, it made sense. The only reason I didn't put stock in it is that it still came down to one of those, anonymous sources tell us kind of things.
Yeah.
But it was, what you've talked about for, it's got to be 10 days already now. Duda and Reed, Addison Reed, from the Mets to the Yanks. Now, I'm
Which does not look like it's going to go through now.
Right, no.
But why would you do that now if you're the Yankees?
And my feeling was, I think the Mets will actively try to trade those guys. I don't think they would ever trade them to the Yankees in a year in which it looks like the Yankees can make a run at it. Because I don't think the Mets would ever want to explain that to their fan base.
Yeah, but you know what? As a Met fan, I don't really care. All I care about is getting quality in return. Now, I don't know how the White Sox did with the Yankees and the Cubs in terms of what those teams traded for, what they acquired.
Tito Polo, Blake Rutherford.
I don't know anything about those guys, so who knows? But all I do know is that they've acquired a lot of people and a lot of players and assets, young assets, that obviously their scouts within their organization are saying are worth trading these veterans away from. And also, they're shedding some salary. Let's face that. Let's face that as well.
Sure.
So I would think that the Mets here have a chance to be really active. And you watched the team last night. They were listless. Four runs given up by Montero, but only two of those were earned runs. And it was just they just don't look good. They look like they don't care anymore. And that's bad for them. It's bad for their fans, for us as fans. And it's certainly bad for the owners because who the hell's going to go and want to watch that product?
You can make the argument that the next 2 weeks might be of his career here, two of the most important weeks in Sandy Alderson's career from this standpoint. You're going to get rid of three, four, maybe five guys. The players you get in return it's significant to the future of the Met organization.
The assets, whether they're players or draft picks or whatever.
I don't think anyone's expecting you to get a guy that tomorrow is going to be the greatest player in the world. But the guys that you get in return for these veterans that are going to be well thought of and sought after, like a Jay Bruce, that's going to be the backbone of your team 3, 4, 5 years from now. And I'm not sure Sandy will be here for that, But this is where a GM really, I think, makes his money. Anyone can go out there and say, hey, I want to get Clayton Kershaw. Hey, at a trade deadline at the time, I want David Price. But the guys that really earn their money, the guys that are the best at what they do, are the guys that find the minor league talent that they have figured out through the scouts and whatnot will be future stars. And I'm not sure if Sandy's got that or the Mets, you know, staff has that because it's not just him. But I think what they get here is going to take a big, big bite out of what they do 3 years from now. And I don't know how any Met fan, much like Phil Jackson, the Knicks, do you have confidence that Sandy Alderson will acquire the right talent?
Well, I don't know about that. I just hope it's not all about shedding salary.
I think that's part of it.
That is part of it. And, you know, when you have big ticket guys, you may not be getting back, you know, in return what you would hope to get back because the team that is acquiring these guys is going to be eating some of their salary.
Right.
Which means you're doing a favor for the Mets anyway.
Right.
So,
you
got to look at it that way as well. And, you know, the other thing, too, about all of this is that, you know, Governor Christie catching the foul ball last night.
Yeah. Now, let me hold on. It was he didn't really catch a foul ball.
What do you mean he caught a foul ball? He caught it left-handed.
No. Let me just walk through the genesis of this.
All right.
I get a text message.
Okay.
Just caught a foul ball. What up? I'm like, oh, here we go. So I immediately check out the video of it, all right?
Yes.
This was not your prototypical foul ball, balls up in the air, you know, 3, 4, 5, 8 guys jockeying for it, and Governor Christie makes the play.
Yes.
The ball hit two things, bounced down next to him, and then it kind of floated into his left hand.
No, I would say.
And yes, he did catch it.
I would say Biggs is pretty agile. Able to do what he did and then make the catch left-handed, that's agility right there.
I don't care what you say.
I know he's like a Hall of Fame Little Leaguer or something like that.
He's in the Little League Hall of Fame.
Whatever that is, but I'm just telling you, like, I don't see you doing that.
Boom, it hit.
I certainly don't see Al doing that. Al would be turning away because he wouldn't want to get hit by the ball.
Boom, it hit a stoop. It hit the net, the protective netting.
It's not a stoop.
Like a stoop. Hit the stoop.
It's not a stoop.
I'm from New York. It hit a stoop.
No, it's not a stoop. It's a step.
It's a stoop.
It's just a step.
It hit the stoop. The net. And then it goes to Christie.
I just thought he was nimble. He was agile. And he made it look so effortless. He was almost like Robinson Cano-like.
Well, I'll say it was effortless. I'll say that.
Right, Eddie? Wouldn't you say that he was Robinson Cano-like?
Oh, very agile. Very impressive. Yes.
I don't think anyone saw
and
that.
And then the high five. I don't know about the high five.
He missed
the
high five.
Well, you know.
He missed a couple high fives.
I'm sure it was the other guy's fault.
Those are the wealthy bougie seats.
I mean, Biggs
though.
Has got to be sweating, too, a little bit now, right? That's got to be.
What I don't know about Chris Christie.
Yes.
And he'll be in on Friday for you, I think.
Yeah.
Is when you're at the game,
yep.
Loosen the tie up, man. Take it off.
He's just, you know, he's a governor.
Yeah, you could take the tie off.
I mean, when he
off.
Comes here, does he wear a tie when he comes here?
He does.
He does.
Because he's starting his work day.
I thought he was on vacation when he comes here.
No, he's working.
Oh, he is working.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
man.
He has worn a Mets hoodie once.
When he was on vacation, he came in wearing a
these guys ever take vacation, or are they always on?
They're never really on vacation.
Really never
obviously.
On vacation.
Well, I think, you're always getting calls about something. It's a big state, and you're the governor of it. Yeah. But when he's on vacation, he rocks the sweats. When he's going to his office, he's here in that typical white or blue shirt, mm-hmm. You know, the power tie, the whole bit. Which,
I don't know why these guys even want to do that, man. Well, it's just
wear a jacket and tie to a game?
I
agree.
I mean, just the whole job. Politician thing is like one pain in the ass.
Well, I think they all get into it at the beginning for reason, public service.
Well, they all have
and then
the,
some of them get, you know, a little confused on their way to serving the public.
You mean like Shelby Silver?
A guy like Shelby Silver,
right? Right, who doesn't go to jail, doesn't have to go to jail.
Well, I think he just right.
He
what
happened? To be in jail.
He's getting out of jail now, isn't he?
You know, by the way, I will say this. Finally, some little common sense. Yeah. And I've been saying this for years and years and years, and you know what the hell bothers? What bothers me more than anything?
Potholes.
Well, potholes bother me above ground. What bothers me below ground?
The train station.
Well, the filthiness of the train station.
Are they cleaning it up?
I don't know what they're doing, but the guy that they put in charge of it now, Joe Lotto, you know, they had to go get him to come back and, you know, hold everybody accountable at the MTA. Yeah. Basically says, look, guys, stop bringing food down in the subway.
Well, they
and
sell food
like,
in the
God,
subway.
God, you sell food in the subway.
Right.
But I'm like, I would never eat on a train. Would you ever, like, bring food on a train? He was talking about some guy brought in a styrofoam case of Chinese food, and he's eating his food on the subway.
I'm like, get a drink. I'd have a drink on the train.
Maybe a drink, right? But they took all the garbage cans out of the subway stations, thinking that initially they would carry their garbage up above ground.
Yeah, good luck. Have you met us?
These people are disgusting. Hey,
we're pigs.
Filthy pigs.
No doubt.
We're two-legged rats, the way that we throw our garbage into the tracks and everything.
Yeah.
So now they're this
whole
thing about don't bring food on the train, which, you know, makes common sense,
Why you can get food to go and eat it when you get off the train, but no one wants to sit next to a guy shoving fried rice in his
mouth. Yeah,
but it
happens all the time. People are disgusting.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, people are short on time. You know?
People are filthy.
How about a drink? Can you drink on a train?
Well, I guess you can bring a drink, but the problem is that, like, who throws, like, what filthy human being takes their garbage and throws it into the tracks? I mean, like who does crap like that? Al, do you do stuff like that? Doesn't that bother you?
No, I always throw stuff right in the garbage.
Right, exactly. Eddie, what about you?
I do not.
Could you imagine walking outside, like, here's my Starbucks coffee this morning. I'm going to go outside, and I'm just going to throw it in the street.
Throw it in the street.
What, like, animal does that?
Now, have you ever seen a guy do that and call him on it?
Yes.
I have once recently.
I said, dude, what are you doing, man? Come on.
I was at your favorite place in Long Island. It was this place called Bar Freets.
Yeah, Bar Freets.
And there's a kid's toy store right next to it.
Yes.
And there's some kid, like 18, 19-year-old kid. He's smoking a cigarette and throws it right on the ground. I go, Ace, there's a garbage can next to you.
See, you're like that.
And he goes, you're right. That's right, I'm right.
Well, you don't want to throw a lit cigarette into a garbage can. That's like, stupid, too.
I hope the guy doesn't try to punch me because I'm in trouble, but he's like, I'm here, yes, sir. I'll put it right away.
I mean, but how many times have I told you that there's, you know, what they should do is they should get a train of some sort that sucks that garbage up.
And puts it where?
Puts it in a drain and takes it out and throw it and bring it to Virginia or something. I don't care. Just get it the hell out of here.
Just dig a hole.
But there should also be a train that's able to shoot detergent, bleach. Out the sides of it.
Yeah, I like that.
And just goes right down, like, where every station is. Like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning when only, you know, some people are sleeping.
I mean, the trains barely run on time anyway. Just shut it down for one day, clean the thing up, and then let's start anew.
Let's just...
Because, you know, there are old enough people will tell you that there was a day, like, in 1923...
That place was nice.
...when the subway was beautiful. Like, the tiles were clean, all that stuff. Now you got pygmies living down there, you know, selling a hash.
You got New Jersey Transit screwing the whole thing up with Amtrak and using Long Island Railroad train tracks and everything.
In any event, the Yankees get a 5-run fifth against Bartolo Colon.
Yeah.
But did they cover the over? And then while most people don't have a typical interest in boxing or MMA, Mayweather-McGregor has elicited everyone's response and a reaction. And here's what is amazing to me. The claim right now is that the interest in this fight is so high that CG Technologies, Cantor Gaming,
yes,
which runs a number of sports books in Vegas for various casinos and invented the tablet in-game wagering out there, and usually the foremost experts on, you know, Vegas commentary for gambling.
Right.
There's the thought that there will be more wagers placed, total value, on Mayweather-McGregor than on the Super Bowl.
That doesn't surprise me.
It does to me, because no event has ever come close.
Every Irish dude anywhere is betting on McGregor. You know that. I know that. I mean, the way that they've followed this guy around and the way that this thing has gotten completely out of control, like it did the other day in London.
Right.
It got completely out of control.
Right.
Where they surrounded Mayweather's car.
Yeah, they're like hooligans for soccer.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And then look at your little blue bitch hands.
this is what's going on with this guy, man. I'm telling you, he's created a firestorm. So, I mean, I personally hope he doesn't get embarrassed. I just want...
If the fight ends in the first round, it's a disaster. I don't care who wins it. First round is a problem. Now, we have another problem on our hands.
Yes, what's that?
I know Governor Christie's listening right now, and I know that he's going to be here Friday, so he'll probably save his commentary for this. You know, you may remember that when you got the invitation to Vegas and didn't include me, and then that ticket disappeared, the governor kind of came in and said, well, Al, I'm no longer inviting you to the governor's mansion.
I kind of did him a favor.
Well, so here's what's happened in the last 24 hours.
Now what's happening?
I have been asked with you.
Oh, here we go.
I
knew this was going to happen.
I have been asked to broadcast live from Las Vegas.
You've been asked?
I said with you. I said with you, but you weren't there when I got axed. I've been asked for Boomer and Carton to broadcast from Vegas for Mayweather-McGregor. Now, that poses a bit of an issue. Number one, I really had my heart set on having a party at the governor's mansion. Number two, you screwed me when your wealthy friend offered you tickets.
I didn't screw you.
And you said Craig's good. Then the governor rescinds his invitation, and now I have an invitation to go to Vegas. And by the way, on the company's dime.
Hey, here's the thing. I knew this was going
to
happen.
And now I don't know what to do.
As soon as I brought it up, I knew it was going to happen. There was no way you were going to let me go to Vegas by myself. You have to be in Vegas when I'm in Vegas. And I don't get that whole thing.
Well, the company came and said, we want you guys to do a show.
You're schweening your way into this whole thing. It just, it's amazing to me. It really is amazing. Can I just please do something by myself?
You will.
I don't have to be there.
I don't want to go.
No, come on, stop.
But the company asked me to go.
I typically
do what the company asked me to do.
Al.
The only thing I said was, I'm not doing a Saturday morning show.
Are you going to confirm this, that he didn't go to the company and say, hey,
I was there.
We'll do a show so we can go, so Boomer's going, so we can now go?
I can confirm that they came to him and said, what do you think of doing a show in Vegas?
And I said, as long as I can have Steven Espinosa on and talk to him like McGregor did, I'm in. So
you're a peach, man. You really are.
What do you want me to do? So now I got options now. I have optionality, which is what everyone really wants, right? I get to make, I go to Vegas, I see you, we do some kind of, you know, pre-fight show. Now, what I think we should do.
I'm not going.
Because I have no interest in doing what we did with the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Yes.
I do think what we should do, and I will only, I think I may make a stand here. If we're on Showtime and the fan at the same time.
Yes.
I would do like a pre-fight show from T-Mobile, ringside, or wherever they do the broadcast from, I would do that. But it's got to be on Showtime and on The Fan. And if we can't commit to both those things, then I'll just go to Drum Thwack It, and I'll have my party at the Governor's Mansion. So what do you think, Booms? Hmm? What do you think about that?
I have a feeling that we'll be doing a show from Vegas. That's what I have a feeling that's going to happen.
But yeah. I want to be clear about it.
Because I feel like you're making this whole thing happen.
Showtime
because
The Fan.
Because I was going to Vegas without you. And now all of a sudden, you got to create this whole thing so that you have a reason not to go to Drum Whack It and then come to and then come to Vegas with
me. We will do a one-hour pre-fight show.
Unbelievable.
Before Showtime begins their real coverage. But we have to be on Showtime, or else I will not do it. That's the rub. I think. And by the way, what else does Showtime have at 9 o'clock at night on Saturday in August that they can't? You know.
What time's this fight?
The fight will start. Well, their telecast will probably start at 9.
Right.
And the fight will go off like 11:30 Eastern.
And why would they want to put us on? I mean, I'm a Showtime guy. I know that. And
well,
you know,
he's already said we can't wait to get you back on the network, Craig. So I'm giving you a chance right now. And if the answer is no, that's fine. But I think we should call Mr. Espinosa up later this morning and just get an official answer. That way I can make my plans for the fight in Drum Thwack It or in Vegas. Because I got lots of plans, man. I got catering. I got, you know, music. We got dancing girls. We got peeps. We got invitations. We got a lot
girls
to do.
Okay.
So I just need to know, Al, will you call Steven Espinosa up and get him on the show here later today? I do need to find out what's going on, okay? Got it? Nice. Here's Charlie Ronkonkoma. Charlie, what do you got today, Hammer?
Charlie,
what's up,
Charlie?
Kid?
Yeah.
Charlie. Wow. Is it that hard?
I mean,
is it still that hard to call into a radio show?
He is in Ronkonkoma.
Yes.
I talked to him a
hi,
second
Craig.
Ago.
What do you got, Charlie?
Hi, Charlie.
What's up?
What's up, buddy?
Well, I'd just like to mention that who didn't know that once Drum Thwacket was canceled, you weren't going to Vegas. I mean, it was like so obvious that you were going to get to Vegas one way or the other.
I can't, Charlie. He just wouldn't let me go by myself.
I don't think the governor truly meant his rescinding of the invitation. I think
sounded serious.
I think he might have been, you know, BSing me on that a bit.
Well, Craig, all I got to say is I love you, bro. And I knew you were going to wind up in Vegas no matter what. And do your best job on that whatever show they want you to do. And I'm looking forward to the thing, and I think it might actually be a fight. I mean, everybody, common sense is saying that the boxer's
sure
going to kick his ass, kick his butt, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But nevertheless, I think that he has the old puncher's chance. You know what people aren't commenting about is he gets to wear shoes. I mean, when you have bare feet, you don't have when punching power comes a lot from your legs, you know?
Sure. The issue is that, you know, listen, he's not a natural boxer, obviously. So the fact that he is even, if anyone gives him even the thought of winning, it's not based on any real life experience or history.
Since my baseball summer is completely lost,
yeah,
this is the only thing I got to look forward to. That and Aaron Judge finally coming out of his slump and starting to hit some home, you know, starting to hit the ball again.
Yeah, two hits last night. And now you're saying I've ruined that? Is that what you're intimating?
You know, so I had a conundrum last night. I'm watching the Met game, and it's the bottom of the ninth inning, and you know Cespedes is up, and I'm like, do I watch this or do I flip over to the Yankee game because Judge is getting ready to hit?
Right.
I flipped over to the Yankee game.
Boomer and Cardinal.
You know why? Because I can't watch guys who don't seem to care.
877-337-6666.
I can't do it.
337-6666.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.